There's your 8 a.m. wake-up call from all of us here at Rosie on the House. You're tuned in to an Arizona Saturday morning tradition celebrating 27 years on air. Proud to say the number one weekend talk show in all of Arizona. With people tuning in from Nogales to Page, from Sholo to Ehrenberg, and every place in between. Wherever you are, you can join the conversation by dialing 1-888-767-4348. And as always, every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, we're talking landscape, gardening, irrigation, outdoor lighting. In particular today, trees, with our good friend John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you all. It's good to be here talking lots about problem trees today, some issues that we've just had come down the road. Just this last week, we found out we have a really serious pest problem here in the valley that's kind of come in from Florida, and we want to talk a lot about that today, and a little bit about why it's important to think about planting and maintaining native trees as opposed to non-natives because of the insect and pest problems that the non-natives have.
Well, boy, we talked last week about a lot of tree problems up in the northern Arizona country and the bark beetle and the fact that the winter wasn't aggressive or cold enough or severe enough to knock them out, and we didn't get enough moisture to really give the trees enough to be good and healthy this spring. So more bad news, but down here in the valley this week, huh?
Yeah, and the when we don't have a cold winter, a lot of the insects that normally die off in that winter cycle survive through till the spring, and then we have those issues surfacing. And one in particular is this: it's a white fly that came in from Florida. It first arrived in Florida in 2007.
Now, when I hear white fly, I think fairly harmless. But, man, anything that comes from Florida has got, you know, hybridized.
Well, there's 75 white flies in Florida alone. I mean, there's lots of different types of insects. But this one in particular, when we have an environment kind of like Florida here, in a sense, when we have these milder winter and high humidity and presence of water, you know, you have an environment conducive to lots of pest problems. And in this case, it's a very serious pest problem. What it amounts to is it's a white fly, by the way, is not actually a fly. It's a piercing insect that actually pierces the underside of leaves, and it basically takes the water and can defoliate a ficus tree in a pretty short amount of time. And it's started in the Arcadia area here in Phoenix, and it has sort of spread out from there. It's caught the attention of the Department of Agriculture, of course, the Maricopa County Extension Office. We had a kind of an informational meeting today with a lot of representatives of the nursery industry, the Tree Care Industry Association, as well as the Arizona Community Tree Council, and members of the public who are just interested to find out how to control it.
So it's just attacking ficus.
It's specific to ficus trees.
So why don't we just cut out all the ficus trees?
Well, we wouldn't want to do that. I there are some who would. There are some who are very purists who say we should only have native trees here. But no, these ficus trees are a beautiful tree. They're frost sensitive, and there's a lot of people who really rag on them for their frost sensitivity. But they are really a beautiful amenity tree.
You
they're green all year round.
One and. Yeah. They're an incredible shade.
Yeah, it's called Indian laurel fig, and they can grow to be 50, 60, 70, 80 feet tall. They're huge trees, and if you have the room for them, they're beautiful. They are evergreen, so they don't lose their leaves in the winter. So for that reason, they've become quite a popular tree here in town. This whitefly, though, is it comes in and it attacks these trees, and started in the Arcadia District, and it has spread out into the Central Corridor. We're finding a kind of a range of maybe 4 or 5 miles out from that Arcadia district. If you have either a ficus nitida, which is the large macrocarpus, the large ficus tree, or even a benjamina in your landscape, you should probably inspect it for whiteflies. You can usually go up and shake the branches, and there will be a big puff of white. The whiteflies are quite small. But you can take a small hand lens if you want to look at the leaves to see if you can see some of the nymphs or the adult stage.
Now, inquiring minds want to know how a little white fly that size, how many wing beats does it take to get from Miami to Phoenix?
Yeah, well, like so many of our pest problems, they come in various ways. Travelers bring them in, or they come in through our, you know, get past our agricultural screenings, which are very, very good screenings, actually. We are very protective of our agriculture here, and we want to be very careful that we don't bring in pests from other states, and there's some protocols that all the states have in place to prevent that from happening.
But it's still never foolproof, and it could, and insects may not always travel on our screening routes.
Exactly, yeah. They get here, and once they do, you know, it's kind of hard to track backtrack them and find out where they get in, but they're here, and they're causing some real devastation. There are entire, these trees are being defoliated at a rapid rate. Let me tell you a little bit about the problem in Florida. When it happens, even non-treated trees will tend to recover. But that's because they have to lose all their leaves. The insects go through their life cycle and maybe move on. And then the trees are still viable. The branches that supported the leaves put out new leaves and the trees can refoliate. The problem is we don't know if that same sequence will follow here in Arizona because of our risk of sunburn. In Florida, with you know the milder climate they have and less sunlight, here
they
in
don't
Arizona,
have the desert UV that just
right.
Scorches
we're gonna,
it.
We're just concerned that a lot of these trees that are defoliating won't have a chance to put on new leaves before they get blasted. And once they get sunburn on the tops of the branches, of course, there's no vascular activity there where that damaged cambium is, and the trees will you know never refoliate as fully as they would have. So.
Interesting.
So you got a petrified stick out in your yard now.
Right. People are asking us now, what do we do in terms of treatment? Well, generally, the master gardeners and the extension office takes a wait-and-see approach. They don't like to over-respond by bringing out the big guns of heavy chemical applications. No, we try to have a more, you know, a measured approach to these things and not overreact. But in this case, because these insects are so devastating, a lot of people are wanting to get some controls right away. There is an effective soil drench that can be applied that has been quite successful in Florida, but you need to act pretty quickly. So today, probably need to go out, take a look at your ficus trees, see if you have any evidence of white flies. If you do, call the Agricultural Extension Office. I've got a number. Can I give that now? That's 602-827-8200. That's 602-827-8200. 8200, and give them a call. They can refer you to a couple of services that might be able to get out to you and apply a soil drench and help to get your trees back on
track. Do they have any kind of published pamphlet or something you could download if you owned a ficus where you could go see what this insect looked like or print it off and
sure.
take it out to your yard and look around your tree?
Yeah, and you can actually look up ficus whitefly, and you'll find plenty of information online about them. Also, the Agricultural Extension Office can send you a link. You can even contact our office if you want at Integrity Tree Service. We also have those links available and can send you some good information.
Now, you had mentioned not overreacting. It seems like there was a bug that was going to wipe out oleanders forever. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard anything about that in a while. I mean, obviously, I'm not out there trimming oleanders every day. That's not an active field I'm in. Mm-hmm. Is that still a...
It is still a serious problem. It's oleander leaf scorch. It's a bacterial infection that is killing oleander plants all around the world. I've heard that there are essentially no oleanders left in Riverside, California. Once it got into that community, it pretty much wiped out the entire population of oleanders. It's here in the valley, has been for many years now, but it's progressing pretty slowly. Again, an infection, usually the symptoms are yellowing of the leaves and starting to get some leaf drop. If you have an otherwise healthy oleander hedge and you start seeing some areas that are thinning out and you're seeing some yellowing leaves, if you know it's not a water issue, it very well could be that you have the beginnings of bacterial leaf scorch. It's really difficult because there are some neighborhoods where it has come in and completely wiped out.
Wasn't Arcadia ground central for that, too?
Yeah, and the Central Corridor, of course, which is marked by huge properties.
So Arcadia is a base.
Roof rats.
Roof rats, the oleander spitting bug, and this ficus devouring fly. I would say you know, one of the premier neighborhoods of town may be evacuated here soon. they're ground zero for all of our problems.
Well, if you think about it, insects, you know, are going to go where the plants are healthiest. And where you have these irrigated lots, a lot of them are irrigated properties, you have a very lush vegetation.
Very mature, established.
You know, insects go where there's a smorgasbord and where there's a nice variety of plant life. In fact, we find that there are some studies have shown in certain neighborhoods where the properties that are most heavily fertilized and have a higher level of maintenance are the ones that have the higher incidence of insect and disease problems. And it stands to reason because these are the healthiest specimens and insects. If they have a choice between a property that's has less water. And properties that have more mature trees, of course, they're going to go to the ones where there's the food source.
And insects aren't the only thing. I mean, you've got animals and people themselves. Who wouldn't naturally want that lusher green area?
Absolutely, that's the trade-off. And you know, we have we've created an oasis here in the desert, and we have a nearly year-round growing season. We have the abundance of water through the CAP canal system and in our reservoir system, so we, you know, seemingly have an endless supply of water. I wish we would get it into our heads that it's not an endless supply, but because we have water and we have this growing season, we can put a lot of plants into this community, both native and non-native, and we'll bring the pest problems that come with them.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. Have a tree question? Have a tree comment, or you're looking for a tree because you don't have one. And we have Arbor Day coming up, so it is the National Tree Planting Holiday, I guess, for lack of better words.
Yeah. Our Arbor Day is our time to celebrate our trees. And we've got a lot of great activities coming up in the next couple of weeks.
It's 1-888-767-4348.